Most food and drink brands are wasting money on influencer marketing, and that's sending out free products, hoping for a post, and wondering why it doesn't turn into sales. But here's the truth. Influencer marketing works, but only when it's done properly. So in this episode, episode 23 of Fueling Foodies, we're breaking down what actually works in 2026, how to choose the right creators, how to get the content that actually converts for your brand, and how to turn influencer activity into real revenue. I am joined by my fantastic team, which feels like a really long time.
I know,
time.
We're back.
It's been a while. God.
So welcome back.
I feel rusty.
Thanks, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't believe we're 23 episodes in.
It's wild, isn't it?
It is crazy. We are over a year.
Year.
I was going to say, happy 1 year anniversary to this podcast.
Whip, whip. Oh, it's so exciting.
It is mad. I feel like it was literally just yesterday that we were sat here. Not knowing how the hell we do this. We still don't really know.
Freeballing.
Can you remember when I came in and I was like, I want to start a podcast, and I remember both of your faces like...
being like, for God's sake.
It was probably in Q4 that you mentioned it as
it
well.
Was. Yeah, this my is one of those times that we just go, okay.
Not now.
We'll see when it comes to fruition.
And here we are.
In a year
are,
in.
A year later, 23 episodes. And we've got loads more to come.
Well, there we go.
So exciting. So, influencer marketing... we're going to talk about it. We're going to dig into it. There's lots to cover. It's mm-hmm. a very controversial subject, I think, especially when it comes to digital marketing. When we think about the brands that we work with, small to medium size, founder-led, sit in food and drink, mm-hmm. where does influencer marketing slot into their marketing mix? We also have an influencer, Laura, looking at you as part of this conversation. So
you knew that that was coming.
Yeah, come on, Laura.
You knew that that was coming.
How many seconds in?
How long it would take?
Yeah, not even 5 in. But let's start with influencer marketing still works, doesn't it? And what do we see that most brands get wrong? Like, let's start right from the beginning. Go.
I would say not tracking what works properly. Okay. So it's very easy to kind of reach out to an influencer, use an influencer, and then not actually see the return from what you've got from them. So say it's a piece of content, or say that they're actually, you know, it's a paid partnership and they're advertising your product. Is there any trackable kind of codes, links, anything that you can get from them to be able to track where the traffic's coming from? Yeah. Because if you don't know that where that metric is, then obviously...
Yeah.
But I think a really good piece to add on to that is that people shouldn't see influencers. I think people often get influencers confused with like how ads work. So mm-hmm. ads, you see a direct return on investment. Influencers, you don't.
Mm-mm,
you can give them a trackable link, but you don't necessarily see a return on investment. But that isn't a bad thing.
And I think often you don't, as a consumer, you don't often buy directly from what you might have seen from an influencer, but it's the word of mouth, and it's a touch point that someone sees that's like more natural than an ad.
I'm just going to unpick that slightly, because mm-hmm. there's some really good points in there that I think our listeners will take massive value from. So let's just go back a step. When you say trackable links, codes, mm-hmm. break that down a little bit.
So affiliate links, UTM codes, anything like that, that you can provide the influencer. So like, say I'm the brand and I can provide the influencer, say, in the goodie bag, like that they're getting. I'll be like, here is your affiliate link, or even such a thing as here is your unique discount code. So. Yeah. Your followers can get 20% off their purchase.
Use this code
that's, you know, Laura20.
Yeah.
And then that's my unique code that the brand can then see how many people use it, how many people like kind of versus how many people see your stories or how many people see the post. And again, that isn't no one used that link. So that means that influencer they don't work. That doesn't mean that at all, because you cannot expect an influencer to generate you direct sales instantly. Like,
and
that's the big thing.
It goes back to, doesn't it, when we think about that digital marketing funnel and mm-hmm. we think about influencer marketing, and you know how much I love to go back to the funnel.
Yeah.
If we think about, you know, if we scattergun all of those different approaches, influencer marketing very much sits in that discovery
massively.
Top of funnel phase. So if you think about comparable activities to that, that's where we think about it is social media, mm-hmm. it's influencer marketing, it's partnerships, it's getting in front of more people, it's just visibility.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never quantify a visibility activity directly against revenue and return because you're missing that middle piece.
Yeah, I'm going to say you need to get them involved. But I think that's the really, really massive thing with influencer marketing, that it's so powerful that we all sit and scroll some form of social media, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, even things like Reddit and things like that. There is a space for ads and influencer promotion on all of them. That's really valuable way of getting yourself in front of people who might not necessarily see you or might not necessarily know about your brand or your product, because unless people are being served the ads or they're actively finding you on social media, how else are they going to discover you? Yeah, in a supermarket, but however many competitors do you have there, that they just walk past. Whereas if I see my favorite creator or, you know, someone just doing like a Tesco haul, but they're using your product, like your product's part of it, something that simple that's like, this is what I eat in a day.
Yeah.
And there's a little product promo in there of, oh, actually, I was sent this, but this is my new favorite snack.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, well, if they use it.
And because you're not watching it from an ad perspective then either, because you don't feel like you're being sold to, do you?
And then naturally then, I'm not necessarily going to go out and buy it right then, because that's not how a consumer works.
But it puts
it
top of mind.
But then if I'm in the lookout for a snack, or if I'm in that shop that sells it, I'm going to go, oh, so-and-so had that and they said it was really good. It's like having a recommendation from a friend. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where it really works, that it's that, it's kind of word of mouth, but in a modern phone-based way.
Yeah. So let's go back to our audience, mm-hmm, okay? Mm-hmm. So our listeners and the world that we live and breathe every day, right? And from a client perspective, why is gifting, purely influencer gifting, mm-hmm, not a strategy? And that's really bold for me to say that, and I'm purposely saying it to be slightly annoying, actually. But why is it not a strategy on its own?
Right, okay, I was going
to
say.
And what I mean by that is, from a, what else do you need to do to make gifting a strategy? And I guess my first point to that is tracking it. And mm-hmm, it goes back to, mm-hmm, what Phoebe was saying about tracking what you're doing and making sure that if you're gifting, there's a really clear output of, if they gift, they use this code. If they gift, they use this link.
Or even like sharing the content, because I feel like we've done it on behalf of a lot of the brands that we work with. And that's the thing with gifting, you can't guarantee that the influencer that you are gifting is going to share that content.
Yeah.
And it is often, you would more likely have micro influencers or smaller accounts that are more likely to share your product. Obviously, it wouldn't be as big a reach as someone that has 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
But it's obviously because they're getting the big budgets of people that are coming in with paid partnerships, that they're more likely to advertise to their audience, or it just might not be the right fit.
Yeah.
So I think that's also tricky, is kind of, you can't just rely on, oh, we're going to gift them stuff, so they're going to share it and we're going to see something from it.
And I think that, to add on to that, it's like any strategy. It takes time to build and to make it work.
Finding the right influencers.
I'm
going to
say,
it's
about finding the right people and building a relationship. We talk about it so many times on here, that everything is about building a relationship and having that authentic connection. If you just send a really blanket message that says, we want to send you our product, you know, want to try it.
No personality.
There's no personality. Yeah. My biggest thing that I always say to our clients is, put a personalized note in that box.
Yeah.
Handwritten note from the founder or anyone on the team makes such a difference when you open that box.
Yeah.
That people really feel like, oh, they know who I am. They've put my name on it.
Yeah.
They say they love, you know, seeing my kids in the content, or they loved when I went on holiday and did this video. It makes it feel really real. And there's, it takes like a couple of seconds extra, and it makes such a difference to the influencer being like, oh, you know what, this brand actually care.
Yeah.
So I should care too. And that is the thing with gifting. You can't guarantee success, but you're getting your product out there. Just because they don't post it doesn't mean they're still not doing word of mouth. They're not giving some bags to their
100%.
Friends. So yes, it's not trackable, but it isn't meant to be trackable.
It's not directly
trackable. It's not directly trackable, but it's not meant to be. Same as you can't say, oh, that Instagram post has bought me X amount of sales, because you don't know.
No.
But have you sending out this box that, let's be real, sending out a box to an influencer is quite a low costing thing to do versus running ads, which is really high. Yeah, you get different results because you're paying different results, paying for different.
And it's different parts of the funnel.
Exactly. So you're reaching different levels, but they're all really important, because again, if you see an influencer doing a post about a product, then you get served an ad.
Yeah.
You're more likely to click that ad because you know about the product already.
And as a team, we all have different skill sets. And I feel like in this episode, we could put a line between you two and me, because we always have conversations, don't we, around influencer marketing, social media, and when you're a small brand with limited budget, where do I spend that budget? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think, well, I don't think, that's why I know this episode is really important, because it is one of the conversational topics or lines that a client first comes to me and says, we've been gifting these things to these influencers and we've not had anything mm-hmm. back. So then that's when we would flip yeah. the foundations, if you yeah. like, and we would break down, okay, so what other activities are you doing? We would then lay the foundations properly so that then from an acquisition perspective, i.e. acquiring new customers, influencer marketing then has its place
yeah.
in the marketing world. Where we see influencer marketing doesn't work is when it's just done in silo on its own
and
there's,
yeah.
there's nothing else backing it up. So I truly believe, my personal opinion, that influencer marketing is really powerful when it's done properly with a strategy and you pick the right influencers. Where I truly believe it doesn't work is when the foundations of digital aren't set properly mm-hmm. and you're solely just relying on influencer marketing.
Yeah. And I think that falls with every part of the funnel, really. Yeah. If you're just doing one, you are falling short.
Yeah.
100%. And that's so important, that if you're just doing socials, but you're not doing ads and email.
Yeah.
Something's going to slip.
That it's all, it is though. Almost, it's all or nothing. But I think that there's priorities within yeah. that, obviously.
And I
in
think
terms
influencer
of...
marketing, it doesn't need to be the first thing you do. Do I think it helps really well to start a brand, launch a new product or yeah. key seasonal times? Yeah. I think
it's exciting,
really,
isn't it? Because
really
it's the
powerful.
Thing that people are like, even from an influencer perspective, people would be like, oh, this is new and I get to be the first to try it.
Yeah. Think like, it's not like a new thing that small brands do. Think of like huge brands that send out, I've seen influencers that have someone turn up at their door with deliveries. Like,
God, I'd love that.
Imagine, it would be incredible. And I'm not saying that, you know, we're expecting all brands to do that, but that's the level of like yeah. how yeah. the excitement can be. Like when a brand does something like that,
yeah,
it's like, oh my God, like I'd love to be that influencer receiving it. What products are they getting? Yeah. I need to know then, from a consumer point of view, I need to know what's in that box.
Yeah.
I want to know what's coming soon. And then I'm not necessarily going to buy it as soon as it's out. Yeah. Like, that's not the way I'm going to shop it. But am I then going to see it in the shop or see it online later and go, oh, yeah, I might try that, because I've seen so many people say it was good. Were they necessarily ads or sponsored posts?
Yeah.
Probably. And there's, I'm already sold.
There's 2 points to that, isn't there? Because number one, there's a, if you see influencer marketing as an extension to the rest of your marketing. And what I mean by that is, if you get influencer content and your content goes, their content goes down really well, you can then have that conversation with them around how to leverage that content, mm-hmm. which could then potentially go onto an ad, mm-hmm. which could then potentially help you generate sales. So it all goes back around in that sort of funneled approach. But also the flip side to that is, we live and breathe food and drink. We live and breathe the industry and niche that we sit in. We're so passionate about it, which means that we as an agency have so many influencers already at our fingertips mm-hmm. that we've worked with before, that we know do great content. And the majority of these people are micro influencers. Yeah. And they are the ones that we see are that sort of sweet spot. And we'll talk about what that sweet spot properly looks like in a minute, but it's also fair to say that it's not just a scattergun approach. If you know, if anybody who's listening has a question about an influencer, please drop us a comment or DM, because it's our world. Yeah. We know these people really well. But let's just go into how to pick the right influencer, because that is a bit of a minefield.
It's a minefield. And I think starting off really simple, in Devon there is so many food and drink influencers. Like,
we're in the best place.
We're
in
the best place, and there is so many. You can literally type in certain words like Devon food.
I think I might become a food influencer. What do you think?
Honestly, it would be a dream
in Devon. Honestly, my partner says to me all the time, like, can you just do food? Because like,
yeah, and then you get invited
to
go
to so many restaurants.
I know.
Like,
maybe
a dream.
Should we set up another little profile and start?
I mean, I have already got contacts to get some places. Did have a PR meal.
Can you be
at
a plus
Ivy,
one? Plus two?
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, can you just make sure it's a team effort? Because everything I invite you to, it's a team thing.
Oh, wow.
One way going on here.
I know, isn't there? Right, so, right influencers.
Right, like I said, again, if you're in Devon, say you're a restaurant, for example, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for local people, yeah. local foodies. And don't just go foodies. I think that's really important to say that, yeah, okay, if you're a food brand who's looking to, you know, reach more foodie people, yeah, great. But everyone eats food. That's the
yeah.
benefit of having a food and drink brand or hospitality venue. Everyone wants it and everyone will use it in some way, shape or form.
So is it fair to say you're saying relevance of the influencer over how many followers they've got?
100%. Massively. I think that's a real big thought now that, oh my God, I need to have the biggest influencer because they've got thousands and thousands of followers. So they're going to do great. Their reach is huge. Yeah, their reach is huge, but what's their engagement rate?
That's
because the higher your follower, the lower your engagement rate. That's just a natural statistic. If you've got a really high following and a massive engagement rate, amazing, you're winning at life. But a rule of thumb, your engagement rate will sit lower because it naturally will. You're never going to reach all of your audience. So that smaller audience who are really, really invested in this influencer who has got, let's say, 15,000 followers, which is still classed as a micro-influencer, they're so invested in what this person's doing that they buy into everything they say. They trust their recommendations. So actually, yes, okay, I'm sending it to a smaller person, like a smaller audience, but is that audience more engaged? Yes.
Yeah.
I saw something last week and it was a statistic along 80% of consumers are more likely to trust a micro-influencer over a macro-influencer. Because you've got that level of trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's huge, isn't it? And that takes me into my next question, Phoebe. You've just set the scene so nicely. Mm-hmm. Macro influencers and micro influencers, what are we seeing in the industry right now? What's performing best? So if I was a founder, do I go macro or do I go micro?
I would say you do want a mix, but yeah, don't forget the low-hanging fruit of the micro-influencers because it's often that more engaged audience of like a more personal basis because I think you don't as much with a larger creator or a larger influencer get as much kind of one-on-one feel with them.
A lot of them will have management and stuff
and it's like you know that they're kind of going to do a lot of ads and they're going to do a lot of like paid partnerships. So I think as an audience and as a consumer with those larger influencers, you kind of expect that kind of content from them. So you kind of tune out from it a little bit because you know, not that you're being sold to necessarily, but it's more likely to come from them. And it feels more genuine coming from a smaller influencer because like you've said before, it feels like you're getting a recommendation from a friend.
I think that's as much as I agree with that, don't dismiss the macro influencers as well. There's a, like you said, there's a place for both. You want to reach both. Yeah. And that's where that having that genuine connection with them really helps of sending the personalized box, making it really authentic, making sure that if you're going for a macro influencer, it's someone who you genuinely believe in and someone who you think will genuinely believe in your product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How can your product help them, for example? How can your product fit into their life that they might use it? Yeah, it won't be a dedicated feed post about your product, like, let's be real, they probably get paid thousands, which actually, not probably, they definitely get paid thousands to do paid posts that have a place on their feed. Whereas
that's
actually
not coming for free.
If they're doing a chatty story and they're, you know, I don't know, feeding their kid like some snacks and they go, oh, I actually was sent these really useful snacks the other day. And they're doing it without even thinking about it because they're actually, it's fitted into their life.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you think your product could fit into someone's life really seamlessly, I think there's still a place to send it that it could still really, really fit in and become more natural.
Yeah.
That even the influencer doesn't realize they're actually promoting you.
So I think in a roundup of the points that we've just spoken about, it's don't pick an influencer based on a spreadsheet number.
Or their following or...
which means their followers, they're, you know, all of those things that are vanity, if you like, and actually be more specific and be more relevant with who you're picking.
Yeah, find your audience. Think of who you want your consumer to be and you want your influencers to be the same.
Yeah.
Because their audience is equally going to be your audience in a way.
Yeah. And again, goes back to, and I cannot stress enough, if you're at the point where, you know, with your brand and your marketing, you can use and you have the luxury of doing influencer marketing, make sure the rest of your marketing is holding up what you're doing.
Don't expect this to do all the heavy lifting because it won't.
No, it absolutely won't. And it will just drop off a cliff. So make sure that if you are doing influencer marketing, they're tracked, they're using a code, make sure when they go to their website, there's pop-ups triggering.
Yeah.
There's email marketing going on in the background. Make sure that loyalty is happening as well. And it might be that you send a dedicated campaign to everybody, an email campaign to everybody who's used Laura10 or whatever the code might be, and really personalize and acknowledge how they've come into the brand.
Yeah.
Whether that's from the founder, whether the founder goes, I see that, you know, you've got Laura, you've used Laura's code. I'm really grateful that you're here. This is what we want to tell you about. Like, make it really authentic. So the second part to influencer marketing is UGC, which is what we call user-generated content. Yeah. So why does UGC work? It's a really broad statement.
It works because of everything we've gone about influencer marketing. It's that recommendation from a friend. It's not very some real, glossy ad that's cost thousands upon thousands of pounds. It is. It's real. Yeah, okay. Now the truth is UGC actually does cost a fair bit nowadays because it is a real thing.
Yeah.
But it's not as expensive as a full-blown marketed campaign ad. Like,
and what about the difference between UGC and polished content? Is there still space for both?
Yeah, 100%. Don't use one and get rid of the other.
Yeah, which is really, really important to note, isn't it? Because when we look at best performing content, whether that's cross socials, whether that's influencers, whether that's ads, whatever that is, I will hand on my heart and say it is always a complete mixture.
I don't think for any brand you could say, oh, you exceed in XYZ of content, because it completely depends on the platform, your audience, the message that you're trying to put across.
And Phoebs, we had a great example of that this week, didn't we? Where we're working with a brand, we've put out polished content for them, and they're not doing any influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. And actually what we're now lacking is that UGC and that influencer content. And then we need to bring that back into the brand to show they're real, to show their actual products that people enjoy and people enjoy tasting. So I think that's a really important point. Don't do one without the other. Make sure it's a really nice balanced mix. So what about, how do you brief an influencer? Like, if they were doing a story post for you, if they were doing a grid post for you, this is like the unknown that's never spoken about as well, may I add. Like, oh, I'm gifting an influencer something in hope that they're going to do some content back for us on our story or whatever it might be. But we can't ask them what we want them to do because we're not paying them.
Yeah.
Like, this is all like ghostly chat here.
Yeah, you have to, it goes back again. I'm going to keep saying it. Build that relationship.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, if you're gifting, you literally cannot ask them to do anything, because instantly, as soon as you put some requirements out, okay, this is my rates.
Yeah.
And you can't blame them. You're asking them to put time and effort into a piece of content. And I think that's where people kind of go, oh, influencer, why are they charging so much? Think how much time it takes you to create a piece of content for your business.
I mean, it takes me hours.
Exactly. And I think that's really important, that content is, and also if they're posting it on their grid, it needs to go with what they post. It needs to align. They need to feel genuine. So really make sure that if you're doing a gifted post, build that relationship. Say, look, there's no pressure actually to post anything. We really believe in our product and we want you to try it because we really like you. We really believe in you.
Yeah.
And go, if you'd share it on your stories, that would be epic. But like, no pressure, we just want you to enjoy. Then if they use it, great. And then you can then ask that question. You can, obviously, if it's a story, they tag you in it, you can reshare it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can ask, go, I absolutely love that picture. Could we use it in our marketing? Don't expect a yes every time. Yeah. Do you potentially expect, go, yes, okay, here are my rates for ad spend. Yeah. Like, It's a business. Everyone is running their own business. It's a transactional thing. You can build that relationship where you can have ongoing gifting and they can kind of work as kind of an affiliate rather than an influencer. And that's where it sits differently, where they will sit as an affiliate so they can have an affiliate link. They can get sent discounted products, or they can, every month they can receive, you know, a box of goodies to promote.
Yeah.
The better they do on, like, you know, selling through their link, the more stuff they get, the more affiliate discount and money they get,
which
is a different thing. So that isn't always an option to build.
But that's
that
like a traded partnership then, isn't
it? Yeah, it's more of a partnership. They benefit too because they'll get
the commission.
They'll get commission from their link. You'll obviously be making sales. Whereas a purely gifted, it's all about the relationship, that you can brief them subtly in a conversation, but don't expect the world back.
And just make it clear it's gifting as well, I think, in the message. Like, we always set no expectations from anything.
Yeah.
Coming from like a really personalised point of view, just really genuine and kind of chatty.
Sign it off. So important. Sign a message off with your name.
Yeah, because then they know who they're talking to. Yeah. I think that's
And
really
they'll start
important.
The message then next with, oh, hey, Phoebe.
Yeah. And I think we're talking about micro and macro influencers. Mm-hmm. But what about if we do want to pay for an influencer and, you know, Do we give them a clear brief? Do we give them a clear goal? What does that look like? Because we've kind of touched on macro and micro. Yeah. Let's talk about if we were to do
a paid
influencer. Cool.
So paid is a contract. You are putting up a legal contract. So there needs to be paperwork that goes with it. They need to sign to say they agree on deliverables. So within that contract, you can agree, right, okay, the return is one feed post, one reel, one story. And that could be, make it really clear that one story doesn't mean just one singular story. It can be one story set, which could be up to 3 to 5 posts on the story.
Yeah.
So make it really, really clear. The more detailed you put into your brief for the influencer, the less loopholes there is to get around it. Even things like, okay, how many times can there be amends? How many returns can there be? How long can it take for them to create the content? What dates does it need to be posted by? So all of the deliverables you outlay in a contract. So that's where it becomes a legally binding contract. You then have to pay the influencer on time because you have received a piece of work from them. Mm. And again, that's where it becomes more of a business transaction.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it is really fair to say in food and drink right now, you know, where we sit in that sort of FMCG challenger brand, small to medium sized business space, actually micro and macro work really, really well.
Yeah.
And actually the paid piece from a revenue generating perspective, and I'm literally going to whitewash and say it is far better for brands to be putting that budget into ads than it is to be using a paid influencer.
But then I think it could caveat that with, it depends what you actually want from it. If you want a piece of content that you can use for the next, I don't know, year on your ads, on your emails, on your socials, you can clip up, it can be used anywhere. And you need, for example, say a recipe creating. If you were going to pay yourself to create that ad and use, I don't know, a chef somewhere to do it, would you be spending a lot more? Probably, because then you've then got to put the ad spend behind it. Could you then go, right, okay, there's this influencer who is, you know, they make amazing recipes. They already support our brand. Okay, let's put some budget behind to create them a brief, ask them to do this and create us a recipe, create the content that we can use. You can do it as a UGC thing so they don't even have to post it.
Yeah.
You could then see the return there where, yes, the money is better spent in ads, but could you be paying a little bit more to get a really good piece of content that you can use in your ads?
Yeah. So it's about being strategic with them.
100%.
Always, which I think when you're a small brand and your time and resource is really limited, it's really difficult to think about that as well, isn't it? But I guess it's create long-term relationships.
Yes.
Don't treat them as a row on a spreadsheet. Make sure you're looking at actually what can I get from this long term, not just what can I get from a 5 minute, I'm going to send a gift out and hope that they post something. And also how can I then repurpose what they've done if I can at all. So if you were to start influencer marketing and you were a founder of a food brand, and I'm going to go to both of you, I'm putting you on the spot, I love this. What would the number one goal be? So you were a founder of a gin brand, Laura. Mm-hmm. Phoebe, you're the founder of an ice cream brand and you were to do influencer marketing, what would your number one goals be? And they might be very different.
Brand awareness.
Okay. And how do you track brand awareness?
You can't track brand awareness. And that is the root of all evil. You can't track it.
Okay.
But it's so powerful. Like, I will sit on that hill forever, that brand awareness is so, so powerful. There's a reason it is one of the key parts of that funnel.
Yeah.
That without brand awareness, how are people discovering your brand?
Yeah.
So that's my number one.
Okay. Phoebes? Laura's kind of swooped with
that. Yeah,
sorry,
I stole the best one.
I thought she was going to say like followers or engagement rate.
Sorry, I just
No, but I think that is the brand, like that is the overall goal, really. Yeah.
100%.
Like you can fine tune things a bit more, like, yeah, you want it to increase your following or you want it to boost your engagement that you've got on your social posts or you want more sales.
Yeah.
But obviously those things aren't as trackable. And
also you don't
at the end
the
of the day,
gained you 7 followers, for example.
Yeah. Like you can't track metrics like that. You can assume, but it's not going to give you an overall answer. And I think as well, it's about people recognizing you out of your, like, out of social media or out of kind of your website and stuff, because they see you out in the out and about where they've seen you from someone else. And it is just a recommendation. Like, I don't think that there is any other overall aim for it, if that
makes
sense.
Question. Go on.
Why? What would yours be? Because I feel like yours would be very different.
Yeah,
to
I
us.
Feel like you like vanity metrics, don't you?
No, mine would be
yours
sales.
Would be sales, but you can't track it.
But yeah, that's the
so
thing.
So mine would be I would never do an influence partnership unless they had a code and it was a sales driven campaign.
But then what if they didn't get any sales from it?
Would you just fuming.
Would you
absolutely fuming.
So on a gifted campaign, you'd be really annoyed if the influence didn't get
no,
any sales.
No, I wouldn't. But you get my point, hey? I always try and drive things back to sales.
But then that's what you could say, that we are still driving things back to sales with brand awareness.
Yeah. Whereas I would want hardcore sales.
Yeah, see, that's where you don't
like. And then I don't feel like I would want to be, I feel like I'd be more likely as a consumer to buy from something through brand awareness or like seeing someone that I've 100%. Seen enjoying it, rather than being like, oh, they've got a 10% off code, but then I could just sign up to their email and also get a 10% off code.
Exactly.
And this is why we're such a fantastic team that we are, because we surround
such
ourselves
different opinions.
With such different opinions, with all different skill sets. And it's really important that you balance that when you're a founder.
And different shopping habits, which we find out every episode.
Yeah, I am a sucker for influencer marketing.
Well, can I just say, I'm a sucker for paid ads and stories.
Well, there we go then. Yeah. See, I'm influencer marketing because, again, I know that I'll see, like, majority of things I wear, I've bought because I've seen an influencer putting it on Instagram.
See, I
and
don't.
Styling it in a way like that, that I go, oh, I really need that in my wardrobe. How can I style that?
Yeah, it's like things like clothes.
Yes, I'm
clothes,
really,
it,
really. But then again, food and drink, again, if I see someone doing it in their what I eat in a day video,
oh,
I'll
no,
go,
it's not
like,
for me.
My electrolytes I have every morning, it's because I saw someone say,
yeah, well, it's
I
like,
use
a, it's like
a
daily matcha, isn't it? Like if there was not someone that has a daily matcha every morning and they've done a what I eat in the
Tell
day
what,
and it's their
want,
daily matcha and it's new, this new,
I
and you've never tried it.
Because I keep seeing influencer marketing for it.
There you go, free promo.
Honestly, reformed matcha, anybody?
Whereas I buy from Polished Content.
Yeah, see, that's the difference of age gaps as well, and I think that's different to stop.
I was just about to say.
Sorry, I said that really wrong, but
sorry, stop. I am in my early 30s.
But there is a line here of under 30s. Just.
I think the line is TikTok users, non-TikTok user.
Millennials and Gen Z. That is what it is.
Oh, you're on the cusp,
I am
you?
A Gen Z.
You're a millennial.
No,
on
I'm
the
not.
Cusp.
I am not. I am
I
a
can't
Gen
believe
Z.
You just insulted me on my own podcast. Or
should
tried
we,
to.
Should we wrap it up now so I can hit the red?
I think there's an age gap. We need to clip that up at some point. How
you
funny.
Knew exactly what I meant. There's a difference
I
in do. How we shop.
Yeah,
depending
I shop
on our age as
polished
well.
Content.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a random errant like.
Yes. You've seen
celebrities.
She yeah, I suppose that's endorsements, isn't it?
Endorsement.
That's, yeah.
I trust and believe Davina McCall.
She's buying
that's exactly where my brain
She's
went.
She's buying Nespresso purely because, or Nescafe. No, Nespresso purely because Dua Lipa is on the ads for it.
Yeah,
now.
There you go.
Oh, God.
Biggest fan.
Whereas to me, I see right through it.
Yeah, I'm like, she's paid thousands upon thousands to buy the cup that I've already got.
Oh no!
I bought a B&M dupe. my B&M dupe was like £3, and I love it.
Oh, that is so funny. So that is really important, isn't it? It's different audiences, different ages. Think about who you're going to work with: micro, macro, or a proper paid for influencer. And I also think it's really important to say, even in our industry and even in our world, we live and breathe digital, but there is still a mixed opinion on whether influencer marketing works or it doesn't work. And that is okay.
That
and
is
I
so
think
okay.
As long as you track it and as long as you look at, you know, what does good look like for you, for your brand, and you're really happy with that sort of goal, go for it. But also, we do talk about this a lot in our food marketing club.
I was going to say, we've got a whole resource, even when it comes to like things like outreach.
Yeah,
even there's even so things about kind of like contracts.
And who to pick.
Well.
Like there's so much information.
So our food marketing club, if you go and have a look, it is foodmarketingclub.co.uk. And it's where we put all of our insights and all of our knowledge into downloadable content so you can learn in your own time. So if you want to go and do your own influencer marketing, if you want to go and look at how, like Laura says, how to write a contract, how to
we've
outreach
done, like, blog
people.
Posts all sorts, haven't we?
We've
so
got
much.
Loads of stuff in there, whether that's in a blog format, whether that's in a downloadable format.
I think there's even a
webinar
on it.
There's a webinar on it that Laura
that I did. I was like, hang on, I think I've seen about this before.
I've done this.
So please go and look at it. It is currently £57 a month.
Oh, what bargain?
Which is absolute steal.
If you work out how many coffees you buy out a month.
Do you know?
My mum said this to me the other day about how much like you'd buy like each coffee versus buying a dress. And I was like, that's depressing.
Or buying a membership to the
Or buying a membership club. To a food marketing club.
Yeah.
It's basically a gym membership for a month, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no, they're really expensive now, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. exactly, even cheaper.
Yeah, but please go and look at the Food Marketing Club. We put a lot of time and effort into making sure that all of our insights and knowledge is documented so that you can learn from it. And also we keep adding to it as well. It's now becoming this little hub of...
So much that even we go back to.
I was going to say, I think it's been since summer 2024, like there is so much content to just go back and look at.
We forget about that. We've like, oh, we've actually documented this. This is really useful. Yeah. And we know it and it's still useful.
And if you're anything like me, I probably will leave this episode, go into the Food Marketing Club and start looking at influencer marketing resources so I can upskill
myself. Would you say that this is, then we've influenced people?
I think you've influenced me.
I mean, actually, you are an influencer.
I told you were an influencer.
I'm so good at my job.
Love to hear it. But I think that's everything for today's episode.
I think so.
There's a lot in there to digest.
Yes.
Episode 23.
Done.
Done.
And dusted.
Thanks for being here, team.
Bye.
Thank you.